This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
I just had a good time of worship this morning, and we are diving into this summer series. Randy actually kicked it off last week. We're calling it Growing Strong, and that's what we're about. You know, sometimes I'm a topical preacher, you know, I kind of like to go by topic. Every once in a while, I like to mix it up a little bit and just go through a book of the Bible. And it's kind of getting back to basics. How many of you know basics are good things? You know, sometimes we get so caught up on the peripheral stuff, the fluff, you know, not that it's not important, but I'm just saying this is meat and potatoes. Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote letters to churches. How many of you like to get letters? It's like, we don't do that anymore, do we? We do emails. We do texts. And sometimes electronic communication doesn't convey the heart like a personal letter. And I just love the heart of Paul. He was a father to the church. He wrote these letters in order to express his heart to these little upstart fledgling church plants like ours. And the interesting perspective is he's writing from prison, right? He was in prison for his faith multiple times. During that time, even in the midst of hardship, he was able to express his heart for the church in the form of these letters. And one of those is the letter to the church in Ephesus. And that's what we're going to talk about today. This is considered really Paul's crowning work. It's sort of like all his other letters mushed into one. He kind of honed his craft, if you will. And scholars, theologians love to use Ephesians as a model for the Christian faith. And you'll find out why here in just a little bit. I'm going to start reading for you. I'm going to try to read like a father, right? Like Paul, Ephesians chapter 1. If you need a Bible, we've got one for you. Just raise your hand. Ushers will serve you. Also, you can pull out your note sheet that's in your worship guide, handy dandy, and there's a QR code in the bottom left. If you have a QR code reader on your smartphone, it'll take you right to the YouVersion Bible app today. How convenient is that? Making it easy for you to get in the Word this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to start in verse 3, reading a letter from Paul to the Ephesian church. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Love it. Isn't the word of God awesome? Let's ask God to open it to us. Lord, thank you for your word today. You say your word is like a sword. It's sharp, two-edged, comes in to divide and to separate. Lord, sometimes a little cutting is necessary for healing to come. So we welcome your healing today through your word, Father. Would you expand our understanding so that we would know the hope that we've been called to in Jesus. Holy Spirit, reveal Jesus to us further today. In his name we ask it. Amen. You know, as we were worshiping today, just singing that song, You're a Good Father, one of my favorite songs, just realize that, you know, he's perfect in all of his ways, but we don't always have perfect days, do we? Anybody here have a less than perfect week? Couple of us. I know some of your stories. I know the stuff you're walking through. I know that it's not easy. And that's when the reality of a song like that really becomes the sweeter. It's like in my mind's eye, I just saw us sort of pressing through, you know, just whatever that is, just to press through. And I think our praise does that. That's how Paul starts off the book of Ephesians, to give praise to God in whatever circumstance. And you realize that he's writing from prison, less than perfect place to be. Imagine that. What if you were in prison? What would your thoughts be? Paul's thinking of the church. And he's encouraging and exhorting the church. I just love that about him. You know, he's truly a father and has the church in his heart. And that's kind of what I feel my heart is too. You know, I'm not necessarily the best teacher. That's not my primary gift. My primary gifting is encouragement. And that's what I like to do. And today, what more encouraging word could I give than some real nuggets, some real basic teaching that Paul from prison wanted his baby church, his you know, little child church that he helped raise up and start to know the truth, the power of the Word of God. There are four things today I'm going to cover with you. They all happen to begin with the letter A because I'm OCD like that, okay? So as I'm reading this first chapter of Ephesians, these four words pop out. I really wished it was three, because then I could use analogies like AAA, the auto club, right? How many of you look AAA? It's like AAA has rescued me out of more situations because I'm not mechanical at all. So I just like, AAA, come get me. Come get my wife. Come get my son. It's like when my battery's dead, when my tire's flat, my car won't run, I need a tow, they're there. Kind of like the Word of God, right? When we're kind of down and we're kind of flopping on one wheel or whatever, it's like God's there to help us out. I also thought about the AAA gem rating, right? That's how they rate gems. Clarity, cut, quality, and all those C words. And AAA is the highest rating. Well, what? I found four. So I guess that means that the Word of God is much better than AAA Auto Club. It'll help you out of a jam in a whole lot better way. And it's the most pure, valuable thing I could give you today are these four jewels from the Word of God. So let's get into it. First day I'm going to give to you today comes from that verse 3. Let me read it again. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. Emphasis on who has blessed us. English students, which tense is that verb? Who has blessed us? Present tense, future tense, past tense. Oh my goodness, we got an English student right here in the front row. Two A's, two stars for Lauren. Has blessed. It's past tense, right? Which means it's already happened. It's like a done deal. Who has blessed us with how many blessings? Every spiritual blessing in Christ. See, now there's revelation right there. It's like it's not a wish, it's not a hope, it's fact. He has blessed us. The definition here, the description is every spiritual blessing. So they're heavenly blessings, and they're found in who? In Christ. Don't undersell spiritual blessings. Just because they may not look the same as material blessings, let me tell you that spiritual blessings are much more valuable than material blessings. I'm not putting down material blessings. They're good. I like those too. But I want you to listen to what Charles Spurgeon says. He's a great theologian and has so much good stuff to say to us today. He said, we're not sitting here worrying, groaning, crying, fretting, questioning our own salvation. He has blessed us. Therefore, we will bless him. Do you see what that's what worship is about? It's not like when you feel like it or, you know, when something good happens. No, you have been blessed. Would you say that? Say, I have been blessed. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have been blessed. It's true. It's a done deal. The scripture says he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Spurgeon goes on, if you think little of what God has done for you, listen to this now. If you think little of what God has done for you, you will do very little for him. But if you have a great notion of his great mercy to you, you will be greatly grateful to your gracious God. That's really good. It's like, to the degree that I'm aware that I am blessed, that I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ, that's where the gratitude comes from. That's where my desire to give him honor and praise that he deserves, not because he needs it, but because he's worthy of it. That's where it comes from. That's the motivation. I love that you know, this every spiritual blessing trumps any kind of blessing on earth, that heavenly places in Christ, those blessings are much higher, more valuable, more secure than any earthly blessing we could have. Every blessing means that God wants to bless us with every possible blessing available. Every spiritual blessing. It's not like there's just a few. It's like you go into the candy store, you only get to pick a couple things. You get the whole shop, baby. You get it all in Jesus. Come on, that's a good thing. That's something to get excited about today. That's something to be grateful for. And that's really what praise is gratitude. You know, it's giving thanks. Exactly. It's what when we gave in the offering, that's an expression of our thanks to God. If you aren't aware of how blessed you are, you're not going to be that easy to express your gratitude. We need an awareness of our assurance in Christ. Assurance is our first word. Did I ever say that? This is the first day. Assurance is our first word. We are assured in Christ of every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms with him. Jesus is like, they're guarding it for me, right? But I get to enjoy it today. How many of you know it's not for the sweet by and by? It's for the here and now. Every spiritual blessing. And I get to appropriate those blessings in my life. That's something that I need to have a revelation of. And Paul is insistent that his church know that they've been blessed that way. It says that he chose us. We were chosen in him. That's the assurance to know that you've been chosen. There's a confidence, not in our own ability. That's us. I think sometimes where we get off track, we think it's about us. It's not about us. It's about him. He initiated this. He started the process. He chose us. The second A word is going to give you more insight into that. Let me read this verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption, what do you think the second A word is? As sons by Jesus Christ himself. Yes, you guessed it. Adoption. First word is what? Assurance. The blessed assurance. Ba-dum. I like that. It's like you got to have that. Ba-dum. Okay, assurance, and then the second word is what? Adoption, man. See, now this is the one I'm going to camp out on a little bit here today. Adoption as sons and daughters. God's plan for us is not only salvation, but transformation in relationship to the Father. And I need to explain to you what adoption in the context here meant, because we have a contemporary idea of what adoption's about. We need to read it from the context. In the Roman law, or the law that was in place here when this scripture was written, adoption had this connotation. When adoption was complete, it was complete indeed. The person who had been adopted had all the rights of a legitimate son in his new family and completely lost all rights in his old family. In the eyes of the law, he was a new person. Kind of sounds like what the scripture calls us, right? New creations in Christ. So new was he that even all debts and obligations connected with his previous family were abolished as if they never existed. Wow. Sounds a lot like our new identity in Christ, right? When all the debts that were against us, all the things in our previous family that were held against us are null and void, and we've been given a new family, a new name, a new place in his family. That's good news today. That's what adoption in Jesus means. It's like that person doesn't exist anymore. You are a new person. It's crazy, but it's true. And I kind of have a little bit of a perspective on that because I was adopted. I'm not sure many of you knew that, but my adoption was a little different. There are some adoption stories that are just this wonderful things that'll make you cry. You know, I love those stories. mine kind of makes you cry for the wrong reasons. My parents were never married. Many of you know that. But I was adopted by my stepdad when I was 16. I was 5 when they met, and they got married and had five children together. So I'm the oldest of those kids, but I didn't have my stepdad's last name because I was never adopted until I was 16. And I was going to get my driver's license, right? Because every boy at 16 wants his driver's license. But there was a problem. This is all supposed to be a secret that I was not a product of that marriage. So in order to get my driver's license, I had to be adopted. Oh, boy. You have to be. Okay, well, if you have to, you know, that's one of those kind of things. And it was a move to keep my identity secret. So it was sort of a hush-hush thing, right? It was sort of like, we don't want anybody to know who you really are. I feel like Clark Kent, right? So it's like, we'll adopt you just so that your name on the driver's license matches everybody else's, okay? Is that good? And it's like, I'm 16. I'm like, I just want to drive a car, right? Here's the problem with this scenario. My biological dad had to give permission for me to be adopted. So I had to contact him. Up to that point, I wasn't allowed to have any contact with him. But this had to happen because we had to keep it quiet. You know, this is, I had a grandma who was quite religious, and she was very ashamed of the fact that I was not biological, so she wouldn't let me come in her house. I mean, it was that kind of like shameful thing. So hush money was provided to purchase my adoption that no one could know about. And when my dad and I talked, he just said, is this what you want? I remember this conversation very vividly. Is this what you want? And I was like, well, I want to drive a car, so yeah, that's what I want. It was about that deep, right, as a 16-year-old kid just wanting to drive. And now looking at it as a man, I realize that's not what adoption is all about at all. How many of you know that God's adoption of you was not coerced? It was not hush money. It was not because of an embarrassment that you were. No, he chose you. He picked you out. Of all the kids in the world, right, he picked you. It was done before you were born. When you were an enemy of his, the scripture says. Not to keep something quiet, but to broadcast something that he loves you. And there was a price paid. And it was a very public price. You know what it cost him? Everything. Everything. Jesus was the payment. We can't understand that kind of love. That's the adoption that God is talking about here. You have been adopted. If you said yes to Jesus, you've been adopted into his family. You are a son or daughter. Now, I'm just telling you because I know my struggles with my identity. I can tell you that this is a difficult thing to put our mind around and to realize that we have been adopted in the way that that description of the Roman law means, which is we're no longer that person. We're a new person. And in fact, it says, I was reading another place, another theologian, another commentator writes, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are not adopted into a family of God. They are born. It's like you're being born into a family. It's like there's no difference between being adopted and being born biologically. There's no, the only word that they can equate this with is the word son place. S-O-N-P-L-A-C-E. Son place. You have the place of a son. You have the place of a daughter. Tell you what, if that revelation were clear to us, it would totally change the way we live. The way we look at ourselves and the way we look at those around us. And this morning as I was teaching this, it just kind of, a picture came to my mind. I'll share it with you. It's like, the adoption, in the U.S., adoption happens and you go to a judge or a legal person and they file, they get papers together and then you sign the paper, you submit it to the judge and he has to sign off on it, right? He has to give his stamp of approval. Well, in heavenly courts, it's just the opposite. The judge has already approved. In fact, he initiated the adoption process. And the papers are set in front of you to sign. And the question is, will you accept this? Will you accept this position of sonship, daughtership, if that's a word? Are you interested? Does this sound good to you? That's the question, right? The papers are put in front of you with the signature line blank. I said I should have had pens for everybody today so you could sign. I picked the feather ones with a little fancy feather sticking out so it'd look really official. See, to me, as a young man who grew up without a father, who didn't understand, all I was told was I was worthless. I was every name that I can't say in church, right? There's an identity shift that has to happen in us. Even if you were raised with a biological family, the fact that you were adopted into God's family when you came to Jesus, we got a new identity. We're new people. The old person is gone. We're new. In fact, the word says every morning his mercies are new to us. Man, that's a revelation. If we got a hold of it, would totally rock the way that we live. Our confidence in him, our appreciation for who he is, even in the most difficult of circumstances, that's the rock we go back to. That's where we lean on. We have the assurance, right, of being blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Jesus. We have been adopted into his family. Now we're 2A's in. 3A, okay, here we go, 3A. To the praise of his glorious grace by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. The 3A is accepted. See, it's one thing you can even acknowledge. You can say, okay, adoption, all right, assurance, okay. But accepted, do you really feel accepted? Do you really feel embraced? Do you really feel welcome? You ever been to a place where you're like, I've been into situations where families are going through difficult times, like in a hospital or a funeral home, and you go in and it's like you don't really know anybody there. And I don't like to kind of barge in, you know, into those situations. It's sort of a private thing. In God's family, you belong there. You're accepted there. Or you go to, maybe I was driving by, we took Ruby to a swim meet in Topeka yesterday. Drove by this house in the country, big family reunion going on, you know, cars everywhere. Thought, wouldn't that be fun to drive in as a total stranger? Hey, everybody, what's happening? What are we having today? Fried chicken? Awesome, let's do that. It's like, who's that guy? You know, you can just see the puzzlement. It's like, in God's family, you're always welcome. In fact, you're a guest of honor. You're one of the family. They celebrate when you pull in the driveway. Right? There's a party. I don't know about you. See, I have no concept of that from my biological family. I have no idea what that would be like. But I love getting to know what it's like to be a part of his family, to be adopted into his family, to be in the place of sonship with him. My son place. I like that word. My son place. I'm learning what that's like more and more all the time, bringing Emily into our family. It was kind of hard for me at first because I didn't know how to trust. It was hard. When you've not had that invested in you, you don't know how to give it away very well. I'm so grateful that I'm learning to be healed in my son place so that I can celebrate, you know, with my family. I know it sounds like a weak excuse, but I'm just telling you that's how much we need to be healed. Because we don't understand our place, our son place, our daughter place. We don't get it until we've been healed. And healing is a progressive thing. We're accepted in Jesus. We have assurance, we're adopted, and we're accepted. Paul uses that word accepted. It's the word charito. Sounds more Spanish to me than Greek. But the word charito literally means highly favored. Where have you heard that term before? Highly favored. Who was told they were highly favored? Mary. When the angel visited her? Hail, highly favored one. Announcing the birth of Jesus, right? That's pretty special for Mary to be called highly favored. Guess what? You're called highly favored, Skylar. You get the same greeting Mary did. You're just as special. Isn't that crazy? I was like, are you kidding me? I'm accepted. I'm highly favored in God's eyes. I'm walking a little taller now. I'm sucking in my gut as much as I can, you know, pooping out my chest there. It's like, I'm highly favored. Walking like I got a problem, you know. It's like, highly favored. Come on, that's your position in Jesus. You're accepted in him. I don't care who's rejected. Don't care if your mother, father, whoever it is. You know what? You've been accepted in him. That's all that matters. That's not a position of pride. You don't throw that over on people. Well, I'm accepted. You're not. Then you missed it totally. Talk about humility. Talk about a place of just like, I don't understand this. I don't feel like I deserve it. But guess what? It's not about my feelings. It's about the truth of the Word of God. Accepted in the Beloved. It's amazing. You know, God's gospel plan, we often reject it because we want it to be based on what we do. Whether we're good enough. Whether we do enough good things. And if you ask the average person, do you think you're going to heaven? What do you think? Most of the time they'll say, well, I hope so. I hope my good stuff outweighs my bad stuff. I don't know. See, that's not confidence in being accepted. Because our salvation, our place in heaven, our position in Him is not based on how good you are. And if it was, then why did Jesus die for you? And do we mess up? Absolutely. Are we rejected when we mess up? No. You know, here's an interesting thing. This has been such a, an opening in my life, even coming down here in this building. Because people that come to Restoration, we're not a perfect place, and we seem to be attracting imperfect people, which I'm kind of glad because I feel like I fit pretty good, you know? We've had people come in literally off the streets, you know, down here, which we wouldn't have had that happen on Riverside because there weren't any people walking around out there. There are here, and there are people who live on the streets down here. And I remember one night at a sanctuary, a young man walked in, and I'd seen him before. I knew he was homeless. It was cold out, so he came in, and we welcomed him in, got him a cup of coffee, sat him down, didn't put any pressure on him, just let him be around us. Just let him. It was a sanctuary like we're doing tonight, you know. It's like you never know what God's going to do in a sanctuary. And he sat down, and I happened to know his name. You know, it's the same as my name. So I walked over to him. I said, how you doing, Tim? You know, what's happening? And we just chatted, and then I said, hey, it's a prayer meeting. What can I pray for you about? And he's like, well, everything, you know. So I get that a lot, everything. So whatever, you know. So I was like, okay, we can handle that. So I just started praying, and you know, I've never prayed this way over someone that I didn't know before. But I just began to pray a sonship prayer over him. And I just said, God, I thank you that you know Tim and that you love him. Man, I was like almost preaching to myself, right? You know him. You've known him since he was born. You knew him before he was born. I thank you for him. Thank you that he is one who your eye is on and that you love him. In fact, you're proud of him. Man, when I said that, he just broke. He just burst. And I realized, you know, it's not too complicated to figure out that probably no one had ever said that to him. No one ever said it to me. You know, and if I was in his position, I would think that everybody would not be too proud of me. And for me to say that to him, see, I was like speaking the heart of the Father to him. And he's just weeping, you know. And I just realized then that I was speaking the truth to him. Now, has he signed the papers yet? I don't know. That's his call, right? He makes that choice. But does God love him where he's at? Absolutely. You know, he is created by God. Being a son is his decision, but God already wants him as a son. Does that make sense? Have the papers been signed? That's the only thing we have to decide. Have you accepted that position as a son? Have you found your son place? If you don't, you're going to always look for it somewhere else. And life will offer you a variety of ways. Man, I had a variety of ways I tried to find my son place. I tried to do it by impressing you all. I mean, at 19, I was in the church, and, you know, I could sing, and I had, you know, some gifts, and I got on the platform at 19. I didn't deserve the platform at 19. I don't deserve it now. But I'm just telling you, I got my approval by people's applause and by their thinking I was good or approving everything that I did. And that's really been an Achilles heel for me as a pastor. I have to be careful that I don't live for people's approval. I live for the approval of one. And he already does. Isn't that crazy? You live for his approval and he already have it. He's already approved of you. You're accepted. You're highly favored. Does that mean we get to act any way we want? No. See, now you're going against exactly what this is all about. The gospel is not about how good we perform. It's have we signed the papers? Have we accepted the gift of God's grace and allowed him to work in us? So anything good you see in me is not about me. It's about him working in me. So he's the one that gets the credit, right? That's what it's all about. Paul talks about how that is accomplished through the work of Jesus and his shed blood. And I've got to tell you that, you know, I'm not a theologian, but I know that there's a debate raging right now. The blood of Jesus, you know, was that really necessary? Was Jesus just a victim? It's like, poor Jesus. Here he came to show us God's love and we killed him. Poor Jesus. It's like, no, poor theology. That's what that is. Jesus sacrificed himself. No one took his life from him. He offered it up. Why? Because there had to be a price paid for my stuff. The only way it could be washed away, the only way it could be forgiven is for that debt to be paid. Guess who paid it? Guess who paid the price of my adoption? Jesus did, sacrificing his life. Only through forgiveness, through his blood, can this redemption, this acceptance in Jesus be accomplished. That was the transaction. But the judge has already signed the papers. You just have to agree to the terms. That's good right there, man. That's like one of those nuggets I'm going to hold on to. The papers are already signed. I just have to accept them. It's hard, though, for us to accept us on those terms, that we are a member of his family, that he's already called us highly favored. That's where we need the healing, in our own mind and hearts. I'm going to skip ahead because of time. There's one more A word we got to talk about, right? It's what makes all this true. Because up to this point, you can say, well, that's a good story, Pastor. You know, where's the proof? Show me the proof. Well, verse 19 and 20. Proof comes in the power. The power which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority. Ah, there's an A word. Did you catch that? Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. There is no greater power than the power that raised Jesus from the dead. See, when he died on a cross, they put him in a tomb, they put a rock on it. That wasn't the end of the story, was it? He died to make your adoption possible. And his authority makes it so that you can walk now as a son, as a daughter of God, in the same authority that raised Jesus from the dead. The greatest name ever was or ever will be. And there's no demon. There's no obstacle. There's no challenge that you face that his name isn't greater than. That is amazing news. Now, in my life, does it mean it always works out the way I want it to? No. Which to me only proves I'm not a fickle follower. Because, you know, we're on this side of glory. We don't see it clearly yet. We live on a fallen planet. It's under the rule of, you know, the enemy. But not for long, baby. We're claiming Second and Francis has already been taken back, right? This was enemy territory. That's why we didn't belong here. We were opposed to being here, not by things that we see, but things that we don't see. That's why it's not easy, because we're taking new ground. How many of you know pioneering is not easy work? How many of you know what, when you're in the enemy's camp, he's not just going to roll over and say, well, there you go, scratch my belly, you're good. You know, it's like, no. It's like, we got to take every inch of ground that we're given, and the good news is, in the authority in Jesus' name, we got it. There's no question. How many of you realize that we still fight skirmishes, but the battle's already won? The battle is won. He's a defeated foe. Jesus is the victor. And his resurrection from the tomb proved that authority, that power is not only real, but it's active and it's active in every person who believes, who calls himself by his name. There is no power shortage in the Christian life. It's an appropriation shortage that we have. And my privilege is to appropriate the authority of Jesus in every situation I encounter, because he has an answer, right? It's like, I don't want to come in and just slap Jesus like a Band-Aid. I want to say, Jesus is the answer to your issue. And however he chooses to solve that situation, I'm not going to dictate the terms. I just know this, he's going to work it for your good. Whatever that situation is, it may not always turn out perfectly the way you want, but guess what? I've always found it hasn't always gone the way I wanted, but he's always worked it together for my good, every time. And I know the confidence I have is that the authority in his name, proved by the resurrection, means that there's nothing I face that he isn't facing it with me, with his overcoming power and authority. I love what the Scottish theologian Alexander Bruce says. If the death of Christ is the supreme demonstration of the love of God, then the resurrection of Christ is the supreme demonstration of his power. It's not just about Easter one day a year. It's about walking in the power that raised Jesus from the dead. I don't know what struggle you're facing today. I don't know what life challenge, what addiction. I know ones I face. And every day I get to make a choice of how I'm going to walk. Am I going to walk in my son place, in my assurance of my spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Jesus? Am I going to be understood that my adoption papers are signed, done deal, finished, approved by the judge already? That I have acceptance in him as a son, and that my place of confidence doesn't rest in my ability anymore. It's in his authority. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is backing me up and backing you up. And Jesus said, on that understanding of the authority of who he was going to build a church that the gates of hell themselves could not stop. See, that's why I know we're not done yet. We still got some gates to knock down, right? Still got some obstacles to press through. In your life, you do as well. The joy of being a pastor is we get to do it together. We get to watch the authority of Jesus find its place, find its dominion in your life as we continue to walk together. He's not done with you yet. Don't give up. Don't quit. See, that's where my gift of encouragement comes in. Say, don't quit. I don't care what you go through. Let's just keep going. Let's not set up camp, right? Let's not set up house and hang curtains and stuff. Let's keep going. Let's keep moving through that. And I know some of you, like me, are going through and have gone through and will go through really, 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 really difficult days. Today we're facing people in the hospital that have very serious life-threatening complications. People that we love, people that you love. People that lost jobs this week, unfairly treated by their bosses. People that are in relationships that it doesn't make sense, it's not fair, it's painful, I get all that. But there's a higher truth. And the apostle wanted his church to understand, this is what we live by, this is where we go. When life is confusing and doesn't make sense, you go back to the rule book and you remember, I have an assurance, I'm accepted, I've been adopted, and I walk in authority. Right. And no gate of hell can stop me as a believer. Are you with me? Yeah. Stand your feet this morning. See, this is a really different way to teach for me because I'm used to teaching topically, right? So this is like more, ooh, this is meat and potatoes stuff here. But I kind of like meat and potatoes. How about you? I think the solid food is good stuff. And see, this is exactly what we need to grow in so that we can help other people grow in that. I mean, God, how many of you know, each one of us have areas of healing that God wants to do in our life where maybe we don't trust, maybe we don't feel accepted, maybe we don't really believe that the adoption papers are signed, the judge has approved it. It's like Annie, right? How could I dare believe that I could be taken in by somebody that would love me and love me unconditionally, it's just too much to believe. I just can't believe, I've never had that before. Well, you know what? It's time to start figuring that out. And the good news is you're in a bunch of people who believe the same thing. I think the best joy of my life is watching people come in who, it's like, this is a church, you know, this imperfect place. And then we get around people who are imperfect but love us anyway. And together we get to walk out our sonship, our son place, our daughter place. Man, today, here's the deal. Some of us signed our adoption papers long ago, but kind of, you know, over time how ink sort of fades. Let's kind of see the ink sort of fading on the signature line. Maybe you need to sign that again, right? Reaffirm. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. You bet. I'm in. I'm a member of the family. Some of you have never signed the paper. And it's like heaven is just like, oh, it's today the day they're going to do it. You know, father's looking at the son, kind of giving him an elbow. Maybe today'll be the day. You know, you were on his mind. You were the reason. The scripture says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. What was the joy? You. You were the joy. The fact that maybe one day you'd pick up that feathery pen and sign the blank line that had your name waiting. And the journey begins. How about we pray? Let's let the process begin today. If you've never said yes to Jesus, I want today to be your day. And if you leave here today and didn't understand how much God loves you, then I have failed in my job. With all the heart of the Father in me, I'm just saying, you've been away from home long enough. Father's standing on the porch, searching the horizon, waiting to see a silhouette. Today he's so desiring that that be you. Your name on his lips. Heaven's praying for you right now. Scripture says that Jesus is interceding for us. Man. So if you've never said yes to Jesus, the adoption papers are slid in front of you today. There's a space for your name. It's waiting for you to pick up the pen and sign it. Would you just indicate that you're willing to do so by raising your hand to heaven? Just reach up a hand to heaven and say, I'm willing to sign the papers today. Already approved by the judge. Ready to go. All it's waiting for is your acceptance. I see one hand. Anybody else? Come on now. Father's heart is yearning for you today. So excited that we as a church get to help sons and daughters find out who they really are. And he's a good father and that they're loved. Awesome. I see another hand. So cool. Holy Spirit's working today. Sons and daughters. Welcome to the family. Believers, you've been walking with the Lord a long time. Has the ink kind of gone a little faded, a little hard to read? Need to re-up today? How many of you would say, I'm re-upping today? Give me that pen. Raise your hand. Give me that pen. I'm signing up again. Man, I signed it a million times. Not so I feel more like a son because it's already done, but so my father sees this is my desire. And he says, I love you, son. I love you, daughter. Wait till you see what we've got in store. There's a family picnic, and I got a surprise for you. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you so much for your tenderness, Lord, your mercies. Today I pray, Lord, that not my stumbling speech, but your powerful word would accomplish its work. These seeds would now go into soil, fertile soil, that's already been prepped and prepared to receive the seed. And Lord, we're believing for a harvest to come. And not just a small harvest, but Lord, I'm believing for an abundance in the life of each son and daughter who today has either for the first time or the thousandth time declared their intent to walk in sonship, in daughtership, to find our son place. Lord, to be aware of the assurance of the salvation that Jesus purchased for us. And recipients of every spiritual blessing, Lord, thank you that they're ours in Jesus. We appropriate those blessings today, God, that you paid such a high price for. The adoption that was written in blood and signed, God, by the sacrifice of your son, so that we would know our place is secure, that we're accepted, that we're highly favored by you. And that, Lord, that by your authority, we walk forth from this place no longer wondering, no longer doubting, not looking for something else to approve or to prop us up. But God, our entire confidence rests in the authority of the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Lord, thank you that today that same power surrounds us, infuses us, and goes with us everywhere that we go. I pray that power would have its effect, Lord, now in relationships. Lord, in marriages that are in trouble. Father, in families that are disconnected. Lord, in hearts that are wounded and unhealed, in minds that are tormented. God, in bodies that are racked with disease, we say the power of the name of Jesus, the name above every name, is sufficient for any need represented here today. God, we appropriate the authority in the name of Jesus to these broken situations. And thank you, God, that by your wounds we were healed. We were healed. Would you just say that with me? Say, I am healed. I am healed. My identity is in you. I am a son. I am a daughter. My position is secure. And I walk from here unafraid, under the authority of the Word of God and the power of His Spirit. In Jesus' name, let's celebrate today what God did. Thank you, Lord. It's good. Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit RestorationSTJ.com, or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.